the first chapter in your Scofield Reference Bible. That would be page 1114. We'll read the first 14 verses of this chapter, the text verses being the first and 14th verses, and we'll read all the verses in between as well. We'll read the verses responsively, and may we stand, please, as is our custom here, each and every time we read the Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day this is. Thank you for each and every Sunday that we're privileged together in this place. We sure thank you, too, for the freedom to do so. Now, we should not take for granted the fact that you're here. We should not take for granted the fact that we're free. We should cherish these things. We should also do our best to preserve them. And we believe that our being here and our belief in the message and in the truth that's preached here will help keep us free. So bless, we pray, in this service, the preaching, and give us carefulness to concentrate upon that which is said. May our minds and hearts be receptive, and our will be that, to do that which thou wouldst will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You will hear I hear a lot of duets, husband and wife duets, and I know many of them more spectacular than Ray and Mabel, but none has the ring of sincerity and sweetness any greater than they have. There are many different ways that I discern the will of God for what I preach here. Sometimes in my counseling with you, scores of you a week, I will sense there must be a certain need, and I will accept that as being the will of God, that is, the supplying of that need. There are other times when I am not quite that aware of the needs of our people, and I will beg God to control my mind as I choose the messages for the Lord's day. There are other times when God just strikes me with an obvious leadership, leading, that this certain subject is the subject of the message. Then there are times, and this is the case this morning, when I know it's the will of God for a certain passage to be preached, because it's all my mind has been on, basically, of the Bible through the week. I cannot preach anything else this morning other than this, because the Lord has not allowed anything else to find entrance into my mind. This scripture has been the goalie of my mind, eliminating the puck of other thoughts to enter my nets, and has kept me from thinking about anything else from the scripture but this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Like a heavy cloud, that scripture has covered my mind and has overflown my heart this week. I want to speak this morning, aware that this is what God wants me to speak, on the subject, the God I need. The God I need. The God that I need is also the God that you need. And I want you to let me have your mind, your attention. You know, I was thinking a while ago, I work hard. You do not know all I do, because the things that I do to help keep this church going, you don't even know they exist. I mean, you don't even know all the things that must be done, just like I don't know all the things taking care of a house. I can understand why it takes some of you ladies 4, 5, 6 hours cleaning out the stupid cabinets. I don't understand that. You just let me have them. I'll clean them out just like that. I'll eat everything in them. They'll be as clean as they can be. But I can't understand that, to be quite frank with you. I have an awful hard time telling a clean house from a dirty house. I really do. I don't know the difference. Now, you ladies do, because you can spot a cockroach at 100 yards and shoot him in the left eyeball. But, I mean, to us men, you know, a few pets around the house, no problem. I don't understand your work, nor do you understand mine. But I was thinking this, you trust me for this. The only way I could work harder for you would be to have more hours in the day, more days in the week, more months in the year, and more years to live. And I was thinking a while ago, is it asking too much to ask you to listen to me for about an hour and a half a week and listen to what I have to say? Because it's for you as well as for me. This morning I want to speak on the subject, the God I need. Father, You're the God I need. But I would not have known You had it not been for Your revelation through Christ. For He has said to see Him was to see You. And I pray this morning You'd help us to see in a doctrinal way and in a devotional way this great truth. Amen. Very carefully follow me for the first 5 or 10 minutes. The verses between John 1:1 and John 1:14 are parenthetical verses, which means that chronologically, John 1:14 follows John 1:1. All those verses about that was the true light that cometh into the world and so forth, those verses are parenthetical. So actually, you could put John 1:14 up beside John 1:1. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The Lord is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, that means without verse 14, verse 1 is not completed. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. If verse 14 were not in John 1, I would be totally frustrated by John 1. In the beginning was the Word means nothing to me. I'm glad it's true, But so what? What's that going to do us down here on this little round ball going round and round space? And the Word was with God. Great, great, big deal. I'm glad about that. It's a wonderful truth. But what's in it for me? And the Word was God. Praise God for that. I'm glad about that. That's wonderful. Makes a good study for doctrinal class, but doesn't do anything to grave science. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But if it stops there, we of all people are creatures most confused. Doesn't put any bacon on the table if in the beginning was the Word, or the Word was with God, or the Word was God. But verse 14 makes verse 1 accessible. And the Word became flesh. Ah, that's talking my language. And dwelt among us. Well, that's down where I live. That's hometown talk. And we beheld His glory. Now, each of these statements in verse 14 are follow-up, or is a follow-up, to the corresponding statement in verse 1. Are you listening? The beginning was the Word. That's verse 1. And the Word became flesh. That's verse 14. And the Word was with God. That's verse 1. And dwelt among us. That's verse 14. And the Word was God. That's verse 1. And we beheld His glory. That's verse 14. Now you see, who He is doesn't mean a thing unless we can touch Him, reach Him, see Him, feel Him, and know Him. So verse 1 describes the greatness of our God. Verse 14 describes the availability of our God. Now listen carefully. What does the word Word mean? Did you ever wonder why Jesus is called the Word? Why did it say in the beginning was the Son of God? In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Messiah. In the beginning was the Christ. In the beginning was the Savior. Why is the word Word? Now, okay, here we have it. What is a word? A word spoken from one person to another is the revelation of something in the mind of the one that spoke to the other. A word is a thought conveyor. For example, Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who back yonder spoke to us in various ways, has in these times spoken to us through His Son. Let me tell you something amazing. I have been preaching for almost 40 years, pastoring for almost 38 years. Sometime next month, in November, I will reach 42,000 sermons in my ministry. Now, hear me carefully. All the words I've ever spoken, all the sermons I've ever preached, all of them are simply a rearrangement of 26 letters. That's all. 26 letters. That's all I've used. Never used any more. Everything I've ever spoken. You know, when Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, what He was saying was, I'm the Alpha through the Omega. Alpha being the A, Omega being the Z, Alpha being the first letter of their alphabet, and Omega being the last letter of the alphabet. Here's what He was saying. He's saying, I am the Word of God, and anything that God says, He says it through me. I'm the alphabet. That's what He's saying. I'm the alphabet. I mean, any arrangement, anything about God, I'm it. I am the alphabet. Just as all the words I use and have used for these almost 40 years have been a rearrangement or some arrangement of 26 little letters, Jesus is saying, if you want to see anything about God, look at me. I'm His alphabet, and so I am God speaking to man, and I am God's Word. That's what He means. I'm God's Word. I'm God's alphabet. I'm the only way that God can speak to man so man can understand Him. And God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to Himself. Now, verse 1 says in the beginning, was the Word. I'm glad about that. The Word always was. Never was a time when there was no Jesus. I'm glad about that. And to think, He lives in me, and the only life that I have is that
is the only life that I have, that my salvation has, always will be. And the fact that my salvation always will be is based on the fact that it always was. For nothing that ever started can avoid an ending. That which begins has to end. And the salvation God gave to me in order to never end of necessity had to never start. I don't understand you folks that bring salvation down to such a trivial little thing that it depends on whether you say golly or gee whiz or dirty word tomorrow morning or not. I understand that. I mean, the salvation that beats in my breast is eternal life. Eternal life has no ending, but if it has no ending, it must have no beginning. And so the truth is, God always knew that I would trust Him, so I've always been justified, I've always been glorified, and I always have lived in Christ because He always lived. He wasn't born in Bethlehem. He never was born. He was always God's Son. But wait a minute. That didn't do me any good. In the beginning was the Word. Big deal. It is a big deal, but not for me. That doesn't put clothes on my back. And the Word was with God? Wonderful. And the Word was God. So what? That's great. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. But it does me no good. Hey, that's all the liberal offers you. That's all he offers you. A God. Unreachable. Unattainable. People all over the world this morning are in churches right this very minute. In this time zone and will be. Or were other time zones and some, they're doing, they're taking praise and wrapping it up and throwing it up to God. Say, catch it, God. Here's a bundle of praise for you. In the beginning was the Word. I mean, their God is an unapproachable God. They come and that's why they sing the high church song. That's why the fellows have their helmets on when they come down the aisle. And while they got their dresses on and they're broadening around the dresses, they're trying to somehow or other act like religious to say, hey, God, we're down here. We love you. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, that's fine, but not enough. And the Word was with God. Okay, that's fine. Listen to me, but not enough. And the Word was God. Listen to me, but not enough. So God comes and gives the answer in verse 14. God says in verse 1, the beginning was the Word. And verse 14, He makes that Word reachable when He says, and the Word became flesh. He says the Word was with God. That's good, but God makes it approachable. He says, and dwelt among us. And the Word was God in verse 1, but verse 14 explains that we beheld His glory. I'm saying, in the beginning was the Word. That doesn't mean anything to me unless the Word became flesh. And the Word was with God. That doesn't mean anything to me unless He dwelt among us. And the Word was God. That doesn't mean anything to me unless we beheld His glory. Let's take those three for a minute. In the beginning was the Word. That's the first line of chapter, verse 1. And the Word became flesh. That's the first line of verse 14. What does it mean? It means that eternal Word that's unapproachable became flesh and became approachable. He came to locality. Jesus was infinite wisdom expressing Himself in an alphabet. I now can read God. I could not read God in John 1:1, but I can read God in John 1:14. Why? Because the divine alphabet has come. And that's what Jesus is. He's the divine alphabet. And comes, God says, you want to know what I am? Let me send you my alphabet and He'll tell you. He's God's divine alphabet. No more hollering like that back there, please. You can say amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want that screaming. Folks looking at you instead of me. Now listen to me. I got something to tell you. The Word was God. We beheld His glory. I need that. But now listen to this. I need more than in the beginning was the Word. When I sat, and please forgive me for being personal, this is all I thought about all week concerning the Bible. When I sat in room 221 of the La Quinta Motel Inn in Charleston, South Carolina,
And my sister called me, and I was sitting in that motel room by myself. 45 minutes after that, my driver was to come by and take me to preach. And my sister said, "Jack, Mother just went to heaven." And I had made a promise to Mother years ago that I would not change my preaching schedule because of her death. We talked about it years ago. And I realized that 45 minutes from that very moment somebody's going to come by and pick me up, take me to go preach. I did not care a bit about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That didn't mean a thing to me. I did think about this, and the Word became flesh. A God I could touch. A God I could feel. A God who feels my infirmities. That's the God I needed. John said in the beginning was the Word. That's wonderful, John, but that won't help me. But in verse 14, the Word became flesh, and that will help me. Now, hear me carefully. John 1:1 says the Word was with God. Okay, that's good. I'm glad He was with God, but I wasn't there, and I can't get there, and I don't know what went on. That's all in the past. That's all eternity. But John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh, and second, tabernacled among us. Now follow me. The tabernacle, He tabernacled among us. It means that He is to us what the tabernacle was in the Old Testament. Now what was the tabernacle in the Old Testament? The tabernacle in the Old Testament was not a place of worship. They didn't come there to worship. It was not the place they came even to preach. We come to church to preach and teach and be taught and fellowship. They didn't do that. We come, I think, in some sense to worship God. Though it's not as good as our own private worship, but that is it. They did not come to earth. What was the tabernacle? A better, probably, word for tabernacle would be tent of meeting. A tent of meeting. M-E-E-T-I-N-G. What does that mean? It was God's appointed place where God met man. That's what the tabernacle was. God in the Shekinah, glory hovering above the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, and in that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, God said, "Hey, all men, I dwell on earth in that tabernacle." Now, people of God, you come to that tabernacle, and I'll meet you there. Now, that's exactly what God is saying in John 1:14. In John 1:1, the Word was with God. But He answers that in John 1:14, and the Word tabernacle with us. What is He saying? God is saying, "Look, I am going to give to you a tabernacle." What does that mean? A place where I can meet you. And Jesus was that tabernacle, and nobody has ever met God unless they met Him at God's appointed place, and that's Jesus. Dr. Rice, you say, that'll make a better come. That's what I need. I don't just need a God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I need a God who has made it possible. That means when I reach up and place my hand, have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn to its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He can keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. But ladies and gentlemen, when I reach up and take that nail-scarred hand and put my hand of clay around that nail-scarred hand, let me tell you something. I am holding the hand of Jehovah God. Because in Christ, He is the tabernacle where God comes to keep His appointment. And man can come to meet God and keep His appointment. And that's why I feel pity for the poor liberal this morning who knows nothing about the incarnation of God. Who knows nothing about Jesus tabernacling. All He is, hey God! Holy, holy, holy! The Lord is in His holy temple! Holy, holy, holy! Lord, all things,
and look up to God and say, God, up there, we come to look up and worship you. I don't come to look up and worship you. I come right here. He's here. I come to Christ. And Christ is God's appointment place where God meets man. I don't care how much you believe in God unless you come to God through Christ. You missed him. God wasn't there. I love that. I love that little story. I love that little story. That little bus kid living in South Chicago. They went to another denomination, but they got on our bus one day. And they came to church out here. Little ragamuffin kids like so many are, but God loves every one of them. And they came to church and they went home. And their mother, she didn't go to church. And the mother said, honey, did you go to the house of God this morning? And the little oldest little girl looked up and she said, yes, Mommy. We went to the house of God this morning and said God was home too. And every Sunday morning they'd come to our Sunday school on our bus and go home after church. And the mother would ask them, son, children, did you go to God's house this morning? The little girl always answered the same way. Said, yes, Mommy, and God was home. And their priest came out and found that they had been to a Baptist church and heard the way to heaven. What an awful crime that is. And he learned that they learned that Jesus is the only one that can forgive sin. And God's the only one to confess your sin to. And there's no purgatory. You get saved and go to heaven or don't get saved and go to hell. They heard it. They heard it. Went home that morning after church over in South Chicago. Oh, the priest came out and said, you can't go there. It's a certain kind of a sin. I don't know. Venial, mortal, immortal, unvenial. I don't know. Voodoo. I don't know. But that next morning, the children were made to go back to their old church. They came home after church and the mama said, did you go to the house of God this morning? And the little girl looked up and she began to cry and said, yes, Mommy, we went, but said God wasn't home today. Mother said, okay, let's go back to the Baptist church next Sunday. They boarded our bus and came back the next Sunday and they got home, our church service. Their mama said, honey, did you go to the house of God this morning? The little girl smiled and said, yes, Mama, said God was home again today. You know the difference? A living Christ. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. May I say, when I've looked into His face, I've looked into the heart of the infinite God. I never broke a promise to my mother, but the hardest promise I ever kept in my life was September the 20th at 6 o'clock when I had to stand and speak. The man that came by to get in the car, out of the blue sky, he said, how's your mother doing? I said, she's not doing very well. I didn't tell him she'd gone to heaven. I told a big lie. She's doing real well. But I got in the car and drove. I preached that night, but sitting on the platform, I said, dear God, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm preaching on. I can't think of my sermon outline. I can't think of my subject. I can't do it. You got to help me. Forgive me. I'm not, dear God, I'm not making fun of your book this morning, a part of it. But I'll be honest with you. And the Word was God, or with God, didn't do a thing for me. Because the Word being God's not what I needed. I did not need John 1:1. I needed John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I preached that night. Didn't tell anybody. Back to my room. Spent the night. Next morning, preached again. Didn't tell anybody until after I finished preaching. Now you say, how did you do it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, in Christ we have the tent of meeting. We have the meeting place. I'm not trying to be unkind when I try to knock in the head. The heresy that the church saves you. Or the heresy that the sacraments get you to heaven. Or the heresy you can confess your sin to a priest. Or the heresy that you can go to purgatory and get prayed out of purgatory to heaven. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the gospel is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus is God's appointed meeting place with man. That's all. That's what I need. There's a third part to this. John 1:1 says the beginning was the Word. John 1:14 says the Word became flesh. John 1:1 says the Word was with God. John 1:14 said, and He tabernacled among us.
John 1:1 said, and the Word was God. That's good. I'm glad about that. And I think that's wonderful. And all of verse 14 is built upon verse 1. If there were no verse 1, verse 14 would be invalid. If the Word was not God, it wouldn't matter if He tabernacled among us. And the Word was not with God. And the Word was not God. Then in the beginning was not the Word. It wouldn't matter if God, if Christ came. But all of that's the foundation now. I've got to get to the building. The building says the Word was God. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, we beheld His glory. This morning, the need of my life is to see Him. 1:1 is necessary, but not enough. I need the one I can behold. When I left the family at the cemetery while they were still there and rushed to the airport to continue the promise I made to my mother. One day, mother said to me, son, I'm not going to live much longer. This is before she had her surgery, before she got so bad sick. I can't be here much longer. And she said, son, she said, when I pass away, what are you going to do? And I said, what you want me to do? She said, son, I gave you to God to be a preacher. I'd like for you not to cancel anything. And I said, Mom, I don't think I do that or not. She said, number two, she said, son, would you preach my funeral? And I said, Mom, I couldn't do that. No way I could do that. She said, please promise me you'll preach my funeral. And I promised her I would. Between the time she died and the time we buried her, I spoke 9 times, including one other funeral service for somebody else. When I left the family at the cemetery and rushed to O'Hara Field and was hurried and harried, almost late to my plane, I rushed in there, got my boarding pass, went to the telephone, picked up the phone and called Mother. 18 years, every time I left O'Hara Field, the last thing I did was call Mother and tell her I loved her. Picked up the telephone, dialed the number of her room. Operator came on and said, how do you plan to pay for your call? And I said, never mind, operator. I know she's moved. And turned and walked to the airplane. I did not need. In the beginning was the Word. I needed, and the Word became flesh. I did not need. The Word was with God. I needed and dwelt among us. I did not need. The Word was God. I needed. We beheld His glory. It's an old story. Very simple, very brief. The little girl. As Christmas time approached, said, Mommy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And the mother said, well, honey, why don't you ask Jesus? Why don't you ask God for the bicycle? And the little girl said, Mommy, if it's just as well with you, I'd rather ask somebody who has skin on Him. John 1:1 tells us about the eternal God. John 1:14 puts the skin on Him. And that's the God I need. And that's the God you need. Our Heavenly Father.